JJW. J4OIM.
Good evening, Walt. How are you, W4DJW?
I'm a little sore. I got out there yesterday and raked leaves and burned leaves all day, and back when we had that tropical depression come through here, it knocked some limbs out of this big maple tree and broke two of the skylights out of my shack, and I backed my truck down there today, got it, and have a ladder tall enough to get up there. I backed the truck up, put my ladder in the truck, and got up there. Replacing the skylights was simple. I got my daughter to help stand there with me and hold the ladder. I've had the skylights for 2 weeks. I just didn't want to climb at my age and get up there. I got them switched out. She said, Daddy, I don't know of any 73-year-old man get out and climb and do stuff like you, but I got them on, and I can't believe how bright it is in here now in the daytime. But what I want to talk to you about, Dave, I've been shadowing the debt control operators. I'm getting it down pretty good. And I think, give me another week, and I want to take over Karen's slot on Tuesday nights.
Okay, I'm pulling up the calendar. And let's see, there's one, the 26th, right, is the next one, is the next Tuesday. And then if that's a little soon, if you want a whole week, then February the 2nd would be the one after that. So you want to start on January the 26th, or you want to start on February the 2nd?
Let me take February the 2nd, because I'm having to develop this shorthand. I'm getting all the call signs down, and most of their names, but then their location sometimes, I'm missing out on that, and I'm learning this shorthand, like TR for Traveler's Rest, GREEN for Greenville, and GR for Greer, but and then TXO for James up in Tuxedo. Give me another week, and I'll be ready to take it over, Dave.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll put you down for starting on Tuesday, the 2nd of February. Yeah, and I use SGC for Southern Greenville County. You get a few of them like Tommy down there who checks in Southern Greenville County. So, yeah, there are a few like that where those shorthand tricks will help you out. And remember, you can tell them, I'm new at this. Please go slow. Please give me your call sign in both phonetics and, you know, your regular way that you give it out, right? And just understand that I'm learning, and they will slow down for you. If you're able to keep up with them at their normal rate when they're used to the net controllers, then you having them slow down just a little bit for you when you're new should make you a whole lot more comfortable. That's the way I've found it to be. So don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Everybody's frustrated at the very beginning, but once you do two or three of them and you see that it's not so bad, you start getting comfortable with it, and it actually turns into enjoyment.
I've got a computer and all, but after I had that stroke, broke my neck, my left hand, my fingers, my thumb and my index finger, about the only ones that will straighten out, so I'm having to use a pen and a legal pad to do it. And I brought up the preamble page on the website, but I need to know how to file my net report at night. I didn't see nothing on the Brar's website explaining how to do that.
So at the very bottom of the preamble, there's the net report. It says, first of all, you're going to ask them, are you ready to copy my net report? There's a line in there that says, W4NYK repeater, are you ready to copy my net report? And once you get a yes from that, you say, please copy my message number and routine abbreviated. And you can turn it in that way. You can do that manually with me on the first couple of nights that you try it. There's also a link that you can go to on the buyer's website that says net report. And I can send that to you on how you file a net report. And I'll have to add you in there if you want to use that, because it only knows the net controller's call signs. And you fill out your call sign, your name. It pre-fills the date for you. You put in your message number, and you make up your own message numbers. Like, you can start with message number one. Like, Gary starts over every year with message number one, number two, number three, the next time he calls it. And then at the end of the year, he wraps back around and starts over with number one for the next year. With me, I just keep getting a number that's higher and higher and higher. With Mark and Wendy and John and a few others, they use the date without any slashes or dashes, like 2021-02-01, right, for the month and the day. But that's up to you. You make up those numbers. Those are for you to remember your net reports. You just put that number in there on the website, and when you get all of that filled in, you just press send in your, you know, you tell the people, okay, ready, here, I'm going to send in my net report. And when you send it in, it's got a check button that says, go ahead and read it back over there so that other people can hear how many people checked in, because people are usually interested in hearing that. You know, what's the net report number? How many pieces of traffic did you have? What was the total number of check-ins? That kind of thing. But I have an email that I've sent to everybody. I can send you that email that will show, give you the link to use to get that done. And we can get you familiar with that. You can try it out a few times before net. We can just play around with it till you get comfortable with it and start using it that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I sure appreciate that email. I'm good on QRZ, or my email is k4oimwalt@gmail.com.
Okay, I'll go dig up that email that has the link to it and the explanation that I sent out to all the net controllers. And I'll get you added into that. There's a net controllers distribution group, and I'll get them to add you to that distribution group. So when new emails come out that's going to the net controllers, you'll get copied on those as well.
That'd be terrific. Boy, I hate we losing John up here. I hope he finds a way. He said he was trying to find a way to hook up with the repeater up there to connect with this repeater. And John, he's been helping me out a lot. He helped me set up my Echo Link and all of that. But John's been a great help.
Yeah, I hate he's moving away too. I like to throw a monkey wrench in that transaction, but I realize people have to do that. People have to do what they have to do. But I do. I'm like you. He's a good one. He helps me out on Tuesday nights a lot. And some other times he just volunteers when he knows that I've been calling it a lot. He just volunteers, and that's most helpful. So I hate to see him leaving. But hopefully he can find a club up there that has an Echo Link and that will allow him to use it. An Echo Link repeater, Echo Link capable repeater. I think the 145.19, I think the Mount Mitchell repeater is a little bit too busy. I don't know that they would be willing to do that. And, you know, that could lead to other problems too. But if there's a local one up there that he can get into really easy, no problem, then usually when you link two repeaters via Echo Link, you get better connectivity than when it's like a person on their cell phone and they've got to get to a cell tower and they got marginal connect, you know, one bar or two bars, and those bars come and go, and those cell towers get loaded up and they get unloaded, and it's got to go from their phone to the cell tower to the server, the EchoLink server, to our server, down to my house, and then, you know, it has to unwind all that. That's really slow. But if you get two EchoLink enabled repeaters talking to each other, that's a lot faster. And hopefully if he can find one like that, we can just have him dial up that connection. Is just sending in some DTMF codes, and it'll hook the two repeaters together, and then at the end of the net, you would unhook them. And that would be kind of like he's like right there on our repeater, and that would be the best thing. Hopefully he can do something like that, but we'll see.
I know you had a busy day out today looking at the airfields. I hope everything went all right for you. I was telling my daughter that I've been listening to you and Steve talking about it, and She said, Daddy, you ain't going to start that again, are you? You're not going to start building planes. I said, no, no, no. I can't afford ham radio and that hobby.
W4DJW. I told my wife when I got home, I had a good time. I mean, it was freezing. My ears were burning because they were cold. It was so cold, they were hot. My thumbs, I couldn't even feel them anymore because they were out in the wind. It's sitting on top of a hill, and the wind is blowing out there. And you got to have your thumbs out to feel the sticks, all right, to fly the things. And I flew out 5 batteries, so they're about 15 minutes apiece. So that's about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And then I flew the airplane for a while, and then I got some video on another one. So it was probably 2 hours out there in the wind, in the cold. When I got back in the car, it felt good. But I had so much fun. I told my wife, when I retire, I am going to the airfield every single day. That's going to be my daily job, is to go flying once a day, every day, when I retire.
Airfield's still there. You go down 101 and turn right down there, way on past the flea market. There's a red light down there, and then a convenience store, that big, nice subdivision, where they've got actual landing strip for, I think most people that live in that subdivision's got their own planes they fly. Most of them got a hangar. But you go right past it, and I can't remember what that club is. You go past that subdivision on, what is that, 295 Rebel Road, and out there on the left, there was a club out there that had an airfield. I never did go down there and fly. I went down there and watched a couple of times. But I got to be friends with this guy that lived, I don't know, about a quarter of a mile or so back behind there. He was an old black guy, a farmer. And he had a barn full of airplanes that had gotten away. Some of them are either run out of fuel. He just go out there and pick them up out of his cornfield and hang them on the wall in his barn.
W4DJW, that's the old WCRC field. It's at the intersection of 101 and 417, which that subdivision that has a runway in between all of the houses is just about a mile before the 417 intersection with 101. So you go down about a mile past that subdivision, turn right onto 417, take it all the way over to Woodruff Road, but you don't go to Woodruff Road. The airfield's on the left right before you get there. It's not there anymore. That was Mr. White's land. He sold it. Well, actually, he died, and his kids held on to it for about 10 years after he passed away. And finally, the price got high enough, and the kids got to squabbling over who was going to get how much for what land, and they finally sold it. And when they sold it, they ran us off. And I went to the one that's the replacement for that one today. It's about 2 miles closer to us than that one was. And you go down to it a different way. You don't go down 101 to get to it. There's a different road you can go down to get to it. It's Anderson Ridge Road is the one you've got to get to. That's the old landfill. So it's the same field, but the first time I went down to WCRC, the one you're talking about, was in 1964. I was 6 years old. My dad's boss was part of the original committee that built that club. And my dad's boss had me and my dad go out there with him to the airfield. And they had some beautiful airplanes out there, and I've been going ever since. I love it out there.
Do you build your own planes, Dave?
Well, back then, that's the only way to do it. They didn't make any almost ready to fly. It's ATRF, almost ready to fly, or ATF, ready to fly, or RTF. They didn't make those back then. There was no such thing. You had balsa wood and silk span and dope. Not dope like people take, the dope like you use to glue silk span onto balsa wood. And you cut your ribs out. You got a plan. You bought the plans. You laid the ribs down on the plans and you cut the ribs out. You stacked them up in order. You put the spars in there. You glued them all in place. You trued the wings up. You glued the wings together. You built the fuselage the same way. You put silk span over that. You shrunk the silk span to make it tight. Then you painted it a color with colored dope. And then you put clear dope on top of that, and then you put an engine in it, and you went fly. That's the only way there was to do it back when I was learning how to do it. There was no other way.
because when I first got into it, I built a, I forget which one it was. It was a biplane that had a 6-foot wingspan on it. And then I built a Learjet, and I didn't know what I was doing. Back then, you had to take a coat hanger and bend it and put your glow plug in there and stick it up into the engine to fire the thing off. And you just had a few minutes to get that thing in the air. Before I got it in there, it sat there and burn up on the taxiway. And I built 5 or 6 planes, but it got too expensive for me. That and ham radio.
Well, those ducted fans are expensive. I had a F-16 that was a ducted fan, and I got a few good flights out of it, 4 or 5 good flights out of it, but one really high-speed low pass over the field, and it was going so fast that it overwhelmed the servos. The servos couldn't move the control surfaces fast enough, and it plowed through the woods, and it sheared its wings off, and that was the end of my expensive ducted fan airplanes. I didn't build any more ducted fans after that. I wanted it to be fun, and that was no fun.
The one I dropped in Lake Robinson up there, I said, this ain't no fun. I was working at Exide Battery on the third shift, and I had one room that wasn't nothing but radio equipment and a bench for my plane over there. I worked all winter getting that building that plane up, and I took it up there to Lake Robinson, and real good friend of mine, you might know William Lockhart. Bill Lockhart, he took it up on its maiden flight. He took it around the lake a few times and handed me the transmitter. And I was doing all right with it, but I came back in to come into the runway, and it just made a nosedive straight down into the lake. I walked over there to that big burn barrel, throwed the transmitter in it, and my flight box with the battery, the starter, and a can of fuel. I just threw it there and walked off.
Yeah, it does get discouraging like that. One thing you have to know when you fly airplanes is that what goes up will come down one way or another. All right, it is coming down. Right, it may not be as you plan it, but it will come down. But that, yeah, I know Bill really good. When I was at WCRC flying one day, him and Jerry was a good friend of his that was a dentist that was set up over on Eastley Road. He had a dentist shop. Well, actually, he built the parts for the dentists. He built the teeth and the fillings and the whatever it was, the crowns, whatever it was. But they were good friends. They came out to WCRC one day, and they said, Kathy, Bill's wife, her dad had had some of the land up on Lake Robinson. He said, we think it would be a good place to fly. We want you to pack up your airplanes and come up here and fly off of this peninsula in Lake Robinson. So I said, okay, yeah, that sounds like fun. I went out there and hand-launched because there was no runway, so I had to do a hand-launch. Got it up there and flew several different patterns, and they kept having me adjust the pattern until they found the pattern that you could see the airplane where it came in, and you could see where it left, and then you could see the lake behind it. And he said, yep, that's where we're going to set up the runway, right here. So they come out there with bulldozers, and they bulldozed all the dirt down and made the runway flat, and I took my truck over there and helped them with it, dragging chains, picking up rocks, and eventually that field was built. But that's how that field was built. So, yeah, I know Bill really good.
He lived 2 houses above me, and we had the same classes every year from the 4th grade till the 12th grade. His mother was a RN, I think. Pretty sure I know she was a nurse. But I've known Bill, golly, ever since I was 10 years old.
Well, he and I used to fly with Jack Davis, a dentist in Greer, to Oshkosh every year. Jack had an airplane, and we all go in together and split the fuel costs, and we camp out under the wing, and we go to Oshkosh and look at, you know, you could, back in those days, the latest military aircraft, that's when they were coming out with the stealth, X-111 and X-17, and they would let you walk right up underneath the airplane. They had armed guards that were standing around it, but you could walk up to them. You could talk to the guards. You could walk under the airplane. You could go up to the home-built. There was a home-built airplanes up there. There was B-1 bombers, the really, really fast, really heavy, heavyweight airplanes. There was everything. We used to fly up there every year. Flying in was really, really fun. I mean, you'd fly down the railroad tracks as you came in, and you're like at 3,000 feet, and you'd fly into a spiral, and there'd be two spirals spiraling down to the runway, and you just spiral down with everybody else. Every time you came around, you could see the other plane and the other spiral coming down. There's a plane above you, a plane below you, and a plane off to one side of you, and all of you coming down at the same time. And when you got down to the runway, you peeled off the spiral and you landed, and they had people standing out there on the runway guiding your planes off to one side, to left or right. They were flying, I don't know how many airplanes per minute into Oshkosh when we arrived there every year. Same way when you're taking off and leaving. It's the crowdedest airport ever, I think.
I was working down there at Greenwood. We widened Highway 72 all the way from Clinton down to Lake Greenwood. And my daughter was dating this guy that lived over there. I can't think of the name of that road. You go down 221 and fire off to the left going into Cross Hill. But he had his own plane. I mean, a real Piper Cub. And he lived in this house right there. They let him live there rent-free to keep the grass cut out there on the runway for the other planes. They had a hangar with 7-8 planes out there, and you go over there, man, it'd ride you anywhere, as long as you bought the fuel for the plane. And inside the hangar there, they had this one guy had an old biplane in there that was stripped down, and they was wrapping it in cloth and building it just like you said. Doping it up, and then spray it, and put a layer of dope on it and all, but he found out he had sugar, and he had to give his pilot's license up. But I flew up to Oshkosh with him. Flew up there, and on the way back, the plane started sputtering and skipping, and oh my God, he found a landing field, and they were having a air show at it. I believe it was in Ohio, and we flew, set her down there, and those guys, they rebuilt the magnetor for the plane and put us back in the air. But boy, that was a spooky feeling. You get up a plane and that thing starts skipping and popping.
Before DJW, the way one of my buddies that I worked with at Michelin, he was a retired, he's doing electro discharge machining with me when I was going to school and working at Michelin on second shift, and he was a radio man in an airplane, and he would describe flying as hours and hours of boredom interrupted by brief moments of stark terror. I'll never forget that. When his name was James, and when James would explain that, he'd tell us about all of his flights over, you know, I think he was in the Air Force, and he was a radio man in the Air Force, but he was a fun guy to talk to. Well, Walt, I'm going to have to get busy. I've got to go over there and add your name to the net controllers list so that you can do a net report and find that email that tells you how to use it. And the net's going to be starting a little bit. But anyway, I've enjoyed it. Good conversation. I didn't know you were so into airplanes. It's good to know that. W4DJW.
I enjoyed it, too. No, I'm not getting back into it. was telling my daughter about talking to you and finding out you were into them. Daddy, you going to start that again? All right, Dave, I'll let you go 7-3, buddy. I'll be waiting for the email.
Sounds good, and do appreciate you picking it up, because we need more. We need more people helping out. And losing John's going to be a big loss. Those are big shoes to fill, but we do appreciate you volunteering. I'll get that email off to you and catch you at net time in about 45 minutes. W4DJW.
7-3, K4, I am clear.